Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to Zero Pucks Given, the UK ice hockey podcast. We're in partnership with the Hockey Art Co, hockey clothing for hockey people, worn by the best and hated by the rest. Listeners to Zero Pucks Given get a 10% discount on everything site-wide at hockeyartclothing.co.uk. Just enter the code ZP10 upon checkout to get your discount. And we are in the final few days of sponsorship with Manscaped, redefining the gentleman with top-of-the-range male grooming products. Listen out a little bit later for more details about Manscaped and their products, and you can get 20% off and free shipping on all Manscaped products from manscaped.com when you use the code ZEROPUCKS20. All caps, all one word, ZEROPUCKS20. Make sure your boys are smooth for the summer. And we are also on the Sports Social Podcast Network, the biggest sport podcast network in Europe, boasting some other top hockey podcasts, such as British Ice Hockey, Elite, and A View from the Bridge. Right, this is episode 101. I'm Ben, and welcome along to Zero Pucks Given. The season is 99% over now, but we've got a couple more episodes to round off the year. In this episode, I'll be running down my team of the year and roster of the year. Thank you so much to everyone who sent theirs in. There was a pretty solid theme, to be fair, and a huge congratulations to all the players that were nominated by the fans, other coaches and fellow players as well. Thank you all for getting involved. It's been a fantastic season in the Britain Division with some outstanding results, incredibly competitive games. Also in this episode, we will be joined by GB captain Jody Alderson-Smith as the ladies have returned from Latvia just outside the medals despite some great performances. So we'll be talking to Jody about the World Championships, about her career and getting given the C for Team GB and what a feeling that must have been. So let's start with the team of the year that I've selected then, not just from stats, brilliantly provided by Joe Scutts at nihlstats.wordpress.com, of course, but also from what I've seen this year with teams that have visited Chelmsford and a couple of trips to Gosport, Streatham and Romford and the likes this season. So in nets for me, there was no real competition. Streatham stopper Danny Milton finished the season with 9 shutouts, a save percentage of 0.947 in the league. And after a total of 34 games played, only 48 goals conceded. A great year for Milts, including his appearance on episode 50 of ZPG, fully deserves his place in the pipes. Into the D, and this young man not only had a terrific year as the strong, reliable defenceman for Slough Jets, also racked up some points, particularly on the power play, making him the deadliest power play player for his side with a total of 42 games played, notching 50 points. Jacob Minter certainly earned his place in the ZPG team of the year. Also in D, this guy is an absolute cheat code at NIHL 1. Lee Jameson joined the Chieftains a little way into the season, providing some calm and stability to a team that were a little bit inconsistent at the start. His ability to direct the pace of the game became a solid weapon for the Chieftains, and he put some points up as well. Similar to Minter, very good on the power play, playing a total of 30 games, notching 37 points, playing an integral part in the playoff-winning team. Into the forward department, and this league has been blessed with some incredibly talented and young forwards this season, the youngest of which was breaking records since the very start of the season, scoring incredible goals, hatties in both the British division and the national, making a great guest appearance on ZPG as well, so there had to be a slot for 43-goal man Brindley Capps. Next up, the Holy Trinity. What a year they had for Slough. This is where it got incredibly difficult to pick just one forward from this amazing line that the Jets have. But after scoring 43 goals, getting 47 assists with a total of 90 points in 41 games, Jack Goodchild is in the top line. Finally, in the forwards, for a second year in a row, he makes the team of the year. This season, under Lewis Clifford, we've seen a completely different Grant Bartlett, disciplined and deadly. Some unbelievable goals throughout the year, but absolutely taking the playoffs by storm, getting 11 goals and 4 assists across the 4 victorious playoff games, totaling 40 games, 54 goals, 38 assists, a massive 92 points for Chelmsford Chieftains number 9, Grant Bartlett. So to fill the rest of the roster then. Now, again, these are just my choices, and thank you again to everyone who sent theirs in. The rules were as follows. Full roster of 20, 2 netminders, 8 D-men, 10 forwards, at least one player from each team, and a maximum of 3, with a maximum of 3 imports as well. So this is what mine looked like. Obviously, the 2 netties, Streatham Redhawks' Danny Milton, and in addition, Invicta Dynamo's Owen Ryder, had the most shots against him of any goalkeeper this year. In the D, Slough Jets, Jacob Minter, Chelmsford Chieftains Lee Jameson, obviously from my team of the year, joined by Solent Devils, Alex Cole, Streatham Redhawks, Sam Waller, MK Thunders, Ben Davis, Oxford City Stars, Ben Nethersell, Romford Buccaneers, Joe Tamarlin, and Nathan Long. Into the forward department, and obviously we have Chieftains, Grant Bartlett, Jets, Jack Goodchild, and the final Buccaneer, Brindley Capps. They were joined by the final Redhawks player who had an incredible season and is one of my favourite people as well, Ziggy Beasley. Next up, the Chieftains import, who had an incredible first season impact, has loved his time in Essex so much that I believe he'll be back for more. Damon Porter had to be in there. What a great season. Next up, the evergreen, ever bearded Stan the Man, Stano Laszczyk from the Dynamos, followed by the player who I'm sure will pick up solo accolades at the Devils Awards night, Steve Osman. The final three are Slough Jets, Sebby Moore, more goals than Goodchild this year, and he signed on for 2 more years in Slough. Dynamo's Ollie Bronerman, and last but by no means least, a young man who is single-handedly behind the Thunder's big wins, Cameron Hamill. That's my roster of the year, and I would give it a bloody good chance if there were a North versus South All-Star game. And speaking of the North, later this week, I will be joined by Graham Hamilton, the host of Hawks Talk, the podcast for the Blackburn Hawks, the Hawks commentator on their live stream, and he's a 4,000 and counting producer as well. We'll be discussing the North 1 Morley division before the Billingham Stars and the Streatham Redhawks go head-to-head in Coventry soon. So we'll be discussing that entire division, who did what, and how he thinks the Redhawks will fare against the Billingham Stars. But let's get to this week's guest. Absolutely thrilled and delighted to be joined by Team GB captain Jody Alderson-Smith. Zero Pucks Given in partnership with Manscaped Male Grooming, the Hockey Art Co. on the Sports Social Podcast Network, and as always, putting a little thumbs up to the Her Game 2 initiative. Absolutely thrilled to be joined by Team GB captain Jody Alderson-Smith. How are you doing this evening?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. My dog just popped up in the background there. I didn't even know she was there. Proper shocked me. So just recently back from Riga with the ladies, just finished outside the medals there. Tell us about that trip. How did it go?
Yeah, it was really successful. We were there just under 2 weeks with travel as well as the training camp and the tournament. Training camp was pretty intense. We were on the ice twice a day from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, twice a day. Trained literally from the airport Monday night. Had a full rest day on the Friday. and then we're straight into tournament hockey by the Sunday. So yeah, it was pretty intense. It's like a whirlwind first week before you even play any games. A lot of hockey played, more than we're used to here.
Yeah, I suppose being on the ice twice a day is, you know what I mean, that's a lot different, isn't it, to a lot of what you girls would be normally doing. Do you feel that really is a benefit to you, though?
I think it really helps us to gel as a team. Obviously, we've got 7-8 players playing abroad now, so most of them don't get back for the training camps throughout the year. Some try and make it back for Christmas if they're back seeing their families over Christmas. But again, it's like some of them don't bring their kit home because it's expense on them. So yeah, that training camp before any tournament we've found really beneficial over the last couple of years that we've had it now.
Yeah, and I've seen, obviously, when I've had your teammates on, the likes of Ellie Wakely and Rachel Cartwright, the group as a whole, your sort of your mentality altogether, always looks like everyone's having fun.
Yeah, I think we call it the girls' holiday, but obviously we're there for hockey, but it is a lot of fun. We try and make the best out of every situation. I mean, Riga was an interesting place to visit, but we found the fun and made the rest days exciting and yeah, just enjoyed each other's company.
Yeah, yeah, which I say you guys always seem to do, and your media team do a great job of sort of putting out on all the socials what you guys are getting up to, or doing these sort of quick fire questions that they've been doing this time, which were really fun to watch, especially all of the ones where you guys sort of had the camera and were doing your own little thing.
Yeah,
that's that makes it just looks like the best time ever.
I think as well, like, it's kind of letting people know that what we're like off the ice. I think with the men's hockey, they kind of get that through the men's clubs, but with the women's hockey not having such a big following, it gives the insight to the women's program and who we are as people as well as hockey players.
Yeah, which I think is probably quite vital, isn't it, to sort of to get people in. We've seen the football do that quite a lot with the Lionesses, to sort of get people more into the sport, is get to know the players a little bit more personally, which I think that's been a really, really good thing.
Definitely.
I think you certainly had a lot of focus on these World Championships, and it being streamed on YouTube was brilliant.
Yeah, I think over the past couple of years as well, different like news outlets have kind of got involved with GB. I think I had an interview with a guy in Canada when I was there, and Katie Marsden spoke to another podcast when we were out there. So it's just getting that interest out there. BBC News covered, I think it was 2 of our games, so that's really good. And it's just, again, it's just trying to grow the game in the UK.
Are you girls all comfortable with that? You like getting yourselves out there a little bit more?
Most people are. I think it's kind of the ones that have kind of been around for a while now are just kind of used to it. I used to hate doing interviews, but it's just what it is now. we try and when it comes to the post game interviews, we try and send like a couple of senior players with a younger one, just to try and get them exposed to the interviews like situation and to get them ready for when they're senior players and they've got to lead the younger ones around.
Yeah, absolutely. And you say as leading, how long is it now you've been the sort of the leader of the leadership team with Team GB?
So I was made captain Christmas last year, so 2021, I think. No, 2022. So when Saf retired, Mike kind of asked me if I'd take over that job. I was already an assistant captain beforehand. So I've had 2 World Championships and 2 Four Nations as the captain now.
Yeah, was the trip to Korea your first one as the captain?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we had the Four Nations in Poland before that, but as an actual tournament, then, yeah, it was Korea. A bit of a trip to go for the first tournament. But
yeah, it was, wasn't it?
It was a place that you don't go on a holiday. So, yeah, it was exciting to see that part of the world and to play some really good hockey.
And league-wise, do you play with the women's team? Because you have been playing with the Coventry Blaze, haven't you, in the NHL too?
Yeah, yeah. So I play Solihull Vixens on my main team, but then I play with the Blaze whenever I don't have any games. So I don't miss too many. I think I've missed probably 10 boys' games this year, but I really enjoy playing for both teams.
Playing for both teams. Yeah. How's the season gone for both? Because Vixens and Bees at the top has been a real to and fro, isn't it?
We're having a bit of a struggle at the minute. We've had quite a lot of injuries at the end of the season. Katie Henry broke her collarbone. Grace Garbutt broke her thumb when she was away with GB. Saffron's been out most of the season. So, yeah, we're a bit struggling on numbers. Struggled at the weekend, had 2 losses at the weekend, which kind of hurt coming back from Worlds, but we've got I think, 5 more games to go. So we'll see. We've kind of took the mentality of it'll just take us where we are now. It's just what it is.
Yeah, and I mean, for anyone who does follow any team in the NRHL, particularly the 1 and 2 South, our season's over now, but WNIHL rolls
still
on till
going.
The end of May.
Yeah. We're trying to get that to change next year. Ice Hockey UK are trying to work with the league to help the women's program mainly. I think every other country have finished their seasons before Worlds, so that's ideally where we want to be as well.
Yeah, get a focus on that international tournament.
Yeah, and I think for us, like before Worlds, we'd only played 14 games in the women's season. So for me, playing men's, it's not an issue. But for some of the girls, they've literally played 14 games before going to play a World Championships, where you play 5 games in 7 days.
Yeah,
so it's tough, and hopefully that they can work together with the league and sort the Elite League out to play it all of the games before the Worlds.
Yeah, it might end up even in sort of midweek fixtures or Friday night fixtures, just to try and get it over.
Yeah,
the line.
And I think what needs to kind of happen is the juniors need to be pushed back a little bit, because we play, my first game for Vixens this year was the 1st of September, and we play until the 19th of May, and we have 20 game season. It's not like we have 50 games in the season. It's 20 games that just kind of get spread out. I know Queen Bees, and I think it was Whitley, maybe had a 8-week gap over Christmas, which is just ridiculous. From the start of December to the end of January, they didn't have a game.
No.
Which it just doesn't help, like, in the whole situation.
No, as well. And we'll discuss the O word, the Winter Olympics that will be coming up in a couple of years. You'll have your qualifiers coming up in the next 12 months.
Yeah. And so we kind of,
that's
need
a big deal, isn't it?
As possible. We've got 4 nations in November. The Olympic qualifiers will be December. And if we get through to that, the next round, then we play again in February. So yeah, it's going to be quite a jam-packed season with GB, but the league kind of needs to help support that as well. And so that everyone's in the best shape and ready to play the best hockey that we can play.
Absolutely. We've said for both format, the men and the women, that they need to have a little bit more of a focus on that to try and get you guys all the way to, I think it's Turin, isn't it? I think in 25. Yeah. Because then the exposure level is just going to be incredible for you guys to get there. So Dan, more to you, when you started then, what got you into ice hockey right at the beginning?
So I went to school with a boy who actually played hockey. He got the Panthers into my school and we just got free tickets. And then I ended up playing most of my junior career with the same boy that got me into hockey. So,
oh, wow.
It was quite cool.
And all I could in Nottingham?
I could skate because my cousins were figure skaters. So I kind of had the basics, but then thought, I'm not being one of them twirlies. I want to play hockey. I played my junior career until I was 16 in Nottingham. Played 7 years, I think, at Sheffield at the women's team. Had a year, half a season in Sweden until I went sledging and dislocated my ankle. That's another story. and then, yeah, I came back and signed for Solihull. I've been at Solihull for the year before COVID now. So it's coming up to 4 or 5 years there. So, yeah.
Do you think that skiing would be the dangerous thing? How did you break an ankle sledging? Or dislocate, rather?
A child ran out in front of me and I put my foot out to stop myself because I didn't want to injure the child, but myself instead.
How did that play in your mind? Was it like a 50-50? You sort of like, am I ever taking him out?
I just saw this little, I mean, they must have only been 3 or 4 and they just like ran straight in front of where I was sledging at the bottom of the hill and thought, oh, I'm going to kill that kid if I don't stop.
Oh, no.
Put out, and I just knew instantly, like, it was gone. Oh. I was like, that's not fun.
But at that age, they bounce.
Yeah, they didn't bounce at that point.
Oh, no, that's a shocker. As you say, when you only get 20 games a season and it's spread over the best part of like 9 months.
Yeah.
Injury just must be literally insult to it when you happen to miss extra time like that. Other than dislocated ankle, have you had to miss much time with injury?
To be fair, touch wood, this season I've probably had the most injuries that I've ever had. I took a bad hit in a men's game just before Christmas and did something to my AC joint, which is it took me out. I think I missed, luckily it was over Christmas, so I didn't miss that much. But to be back to full fitness, it took me a few weeks to get over that. And just like little niggle things this year. I've just had a few wrist injuries, and my knees decided to play up again after about 4 years of not having that bother me. And yeah, it's just, but not massively. Did my MCL a few years ago, so that's the reoccurring thing that I've got going on at the minute.
Yeah, wear and tear, I suppose, as well.
Yeah,
The more often you play, I
getting
did eight.
old. Yeah,
Yeah, I did ACL when I was 24. I'm nearly 40 now, and I'm nowhere near over it. So,
it's just kind of there and just niggling at the minute. That's just what I'm going through at the minute.
but and you say you took a hit in a Blaze game. So
Yeah.
do you find then that the guys you're playing against just treat you like you're another one of the guys?
Some of them do. Some of them see the girls, because there's quite a few in the North League that play for the men's teams. And yeah, there's some teams that do respect us more. There's other teams that don't, and they just kind of go out to hit players. But most of them do respect us, and I think most of them know the level of what we are at in our game. My boy team are really good with me. I know if anything happened, they'd always have my back. So it's good for me.
Yeah. Is the physicality, do you think that's good for you as well to take that into your international hockey in particular?
Yeah, I think so, because it is a more physical game at Worlds compared to what we play in the Women's League. It's a lot of like more physical and faster. So me playing men's, it definitely helps. But yeah, I do like the physicality of the men's game. It's fun.
Was it like that in Sweden as well?
Yeah, not so much. I think it was the league. So I didn't play in the top league when I was in Sweden. I was in the second division. It was quite a similar level to like physicality to what the women's league is now, but just a bit more skillful.
Oh really? And
Yeah.
the speed, was the speed up there as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the I saw
Sorry,
Grant.
the professional league in Sweden's a lot more physical than anywhere here,
They
definitely.
have full check-in, don't they, I think it's.
Yeah.
What's the facilities like over there? 'Cause it's obviously something we know we struggle with in this country.
Yeah, I mean, ice rinks. There was two in my city where I lived, and I think it's just the same in most cities. I think there's just like two or three in most cities, and they can just get on the ice whenever. My team used to train, I think it was like 3 times a week, and then we had the option to just go on a Sunday morning if you wanted to. Like the ice was there. It's not an actual training session, but you could just, if you wanted to, you turned up, you could skate in full kit or half kit, whatever you wanted to, really. It was quite laid back to what we have here.
Yeah, but what I would say, just to get you on the ice
Yeah.
as much as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, with the sort of facilities you have here, what's your favourite rink that you play at here?
Well, there's a few. The best ice I've skated on is definitely like Sheffield Arena. I think because they only use it for hockey. That ice is perfect for hockey. But in the Women's Elite League, I would say like Guildford's a pretty nice rink to skate at. Solihull just needs to get some plexiglass because we have we have netting. But yeah, no, there's a few good rinks. Whitley Bay is obviously a tough one to go and play at because it's an old barn, but makes the atmosphere good. Playing, it's quite a physical game when you play there in the corners, and there's hard battles with the
Yeah.
girls.
Is the surface any different on the ones that do curling as well? Because I would think it would just be a lot smoother.
I don't know. I don't really know where does any curling in that I've played at, to be fair. I
No, I'm
know
trying to think where I've
one
seen the markings.
Scotland do it. I know Dumfries have some curling competitions, but I can't remember. It's been that long since I
Yeah.
played there.
They love a bit of curling in Scotland, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Love a bit of curling. So I had a few questions come in on the Instagram
Yeah.
when we put out that you were coming on. I get not as many as I would have thought, because again, I don't think I'm doing it right. And I think it's going out to a lot less people than it probably should. But that's my technological issue. But we had a question from Lewis Smith, who asked, "Who's your favorite hockey husband from the Blaze?"
Oh, that's him. Calls me his wife, so that would be him. We have the same name, so obviously I'm his wife.
Is your double barrel from being married or from
Yeah, but
your
not from
husband?
him. No,
Not
definitely not from him.
from.
He's just adopted me as his hockey wife.
But like you said, they're a good bunch of guys down there, are they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are really good.
Yeah. Do you think they could ever look at going up a league, do you think?
To be fair, we have spoke about it. I think the issue at the Blaze is everyone pays to play, or they've got sponsors paying their fees. It's quite expensive to play at Coventry. The ice is really expensive, one of the most expensive in the country. So I think if there was the option to get a big sponsor, and I think the biggest issue is obviously the Barons are only half an hour away from us and they're in that league. So it would be kind of like battling for the better players in the area.
Yeah.
And I know that they don't pay to play. So players are going to go there over paying subs every month.
Yeah. Is the ice availability an issue, obviously, with Coventry being an elite team as well?
I don't think it would be, to be honest. They tend to play their home games on a Sunday, whereas we play our home games on a Saturday. So it works quite well. And the Blaze have got quite a good relationship with our management staff. Like, if they're on the road, we use their home dressing room and their facilities around. They've got like a lounge area and stuff like that. So that's pretty good. And their equipment manager will help our guys out if they need any kit, like sticks and stuff, skate sharpening. And yeah, they're really good to help out.
Yeah, that's good to have a good relationship, I suppose, when you've got a higher league club up there. Justin Wilson has asked, who, in your opinion, is the most underrated player on the current GB roster?
Oh, that's a hard one. Do you know who really surprised us all this year? She just kind of came out of nowhere, is Jamie Andreezy. She's been playing at Streatham. She's dual national and she's just got a British passport this year. And I don't think anyone kind of expected her to make as much of an impact in the team as she has. And she was actually like one of the standout players for me this year. And we're really excited to have her with us.
There's a bit of that in the GB team, isn't there? Anyone who would have seen the videos across the time in Riga, there's some Western accents coming out of there, isn't there?
I mean, there's also the adopted ones that have kind of been there for 6-7 years when they've been at school and have now lost their British accent.
Yeah.
But it soon comes back at times, like Amy Headland will just appear and randomly say something in a really English accent. And I'm like, that does not sound right anymore.
So I sort of flick between a bit like John Barrowman goes between Scottish and Canadian.
Yep. It definitely sounds like that sometimes.
I've had a couple from some of your teammates as well. Katie Marsden has asked, who is the funniest, silliest goose teammate?
That would be her. We do some team awards at the end of every tournament and she won funniest teammate and she was the most proudest of that. She is definitely like the class clown.
Yeah.
Who's also training to be a doctor, which is quite the worrying thing. but yeah, no, she brings the laughs and she brings a lot of goofiness to the team, definitely.
Excellent. And well needed, of course, as well.
Yeah.
And then Ellie Wakelin said, can you ask Jody to say hi to my bestie Lindsay?
Lindsay's my wife. I don't know why she's asking that. But hello to both of you.
Yeah, obviously the banter runs very high and very deep. Yeah. Very deep indeed. There's another one that didn't have a name on it. It came through just as a social media user rather than having a name. So they must have some privacy settings on there. Wanted to know about your GB number 8. Was that your choice and why?
So I wore 8 when I played at Sheffield. I wanted to have 8 when I moved to Solihull and to the Blaze. However, at the time, there was someone wearing 8 at Vixens and I kind of wanted to wear the same number. So I ended up moving to 10 as there was someone wearing it for the Blaze as well. So I kind of just stuck with that number 8 from my Sheffield days. Always confuses people because obviously I wear 10 throughout the season. And then wear 8 for GB. But yeah, it's just kind of habit. And if I could wear 8 for Blaze and for Vixens, I would too, but I can't. So
I'd always say with the people that have got longer names, it's lucky that hockey jerseys are generally quite big because you can get the whole thing on there then, can't you?
Yeah, because I changed my passport got changed this year. So it's the first time I've had that on my jersey. And I was worrying how long it would actually be, but they managed to make the letters a little bit smaller. So it looked good.
To squeeze it all in. Well, I'm really, really pleased that you've come on and joined me on WPG. We've been speaking for sort of just over a year, actually, trying to get you on. And then after Riga, I thought it would be the perfect time to have a chat with the GB captain and say just outside the medals this time. But we've got some tournaments coming up where I'm sure the GB ladies are going to be going hard and getting the results, getting medals. And then the O word comes round as we look for the Olympic qualifiers. as we'd love to see you girls go all the way to Turin and do it for Great Britain. And as I said, get some exposure from some sort of mainstream media as well, which the sport is in dire need of.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've got a really busy like schedule in the next year with the Olympic qualifiers, Four Nations. And I think if we get through to the next round again, it's more games to be as a group. And I know that the Ice Hockey UK want us to play more international friendlies. So that's just going to help us, especially for Worlds and however far we go in the Olympic qualifiers and the next rounds.
Yeah. Do they do an England-Scotland with the ladies? Because I know it used to be a bit of a fixture.
There's just not enough in Scotland. There's not so many girls playing anymore. Not the level that would be to kind of compete against the top English girls.
Oh, well, we'll just beat them then.
There's a few under 18s and Ruby Newlands who plays seniors as well. So maybe one day when there's a few more girls playing in Scotland, but it'd be cool to do. That would be.
Yeah, well, the girls' side of the sport is definitely growing, and you and your teammates are playing a massive part in helping that do that. So fantastic stuff for you guys. Thank you so much for joining me on here. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you. Good luck for the rest of the season with the Vixens and with the Blaze. Or the Blaze, sorry, it's done now, isn't it? So, Vixens certainly looking to get to Sheffield at the end of May.
Yeah, definitely.
And hope we'll catch up with you again.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, Jodie.
Thank you.
Well, a massive thank you to Jodie for joining me on ZPG. It's a great honour for me to be able to speak with our international players as they attempt to get the Lionesses all the way to the Olympics. And what an incredible achievement that would be. Fantastic for the sport, for the players, for the fans, absolutely everything to get it a little bit more exposure from the mainstream. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thank you all again for sending in your rosters of the year and your questions for Jodie Alderson-Smith. Don't forget, there are just a few days left to get your discount on Manscaped products from manscapes.com. Summer's coming, boys. Make sure we're all smooth operators. Use the code 0PUCKS20, all caps, all one word, 0PUCKS20, and you will get your 20% discount plus free shipping on absolutely everything on manscaped.com. And there is an awful lot of stuff there that is really worth looking at. I had a little go with the beard trimmer last night. You know, now playoffs is over, I could trim the beard. And that's worked a treat for me. So absolutely love the stuff. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to follow on all the socials on the Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, Snapchat, and TikTok. Subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube so that you don't miss a thing. Got a few things coming up over the summer that I'm going to keep quite close to the chest. Hopefully it's going to just involve massive growth for Zero Pucks Given so that we can get as much content out there to absolutely everybody. Involved with the Britain division, you know, possibly even sort of stretching a little bit further ahead should we get what we're looking to do. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.